All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and introducing Antiwar.com's man in the House of Representatives, Congressman Ron Paul, represents the 14th District of Texas. He's the chair of the Banking Committee's Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy. He's also on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And did I mention already he's running for president of the United States? Oh, also read his books, A Foreign Policy of Freedom, The Revolution, A Manifesto, End the Fed, and the brand new one, Liberty Defined. Welcome back to the show, Ron. How are you doing?
Thank you, Scott. Good to be with you.
I'm very happy to have you here. Big doings in the House of Representatives this morning. I have to tell you, I'm beside myself. I can't believe the debate about war going on in the Congress right now. Give us an update.
Well, there are two resolutions on the floor. We'll be voting shortly. And, of course, Kucinich has a good resolution that said the president should buckle down, obey the law, and tell us what he's doing and get the troops out of Libya, dealing with Libya.
Mm-hmm.
But the speaker took it, and he wanted to take that away from Kucinich, so he introduced his own, and believing he can pass it. It's very much watered down, has no force of law, and allows the president to continue to do what he's exactly doing.
So it's not even the kind of authorization that they had, say, for the Iraq war.
Yes. So Obama, I mean, I and you and everybody else complained about the Iraq war and the lack of necessity to go into that in the way they did, and it wasn't a declaration of war, but at least the president did come and got some type of authority, where under these circumstances in Libya, he just has gone in, he's flaunted it, he said he got the authority from the United Nations. It's very, very bad, and if the House doesn't do anything, and the Senate, of course, should too, it's a very, very bad precedent. And it's an unusual coalition that we built here. Some very, very conservative hawkish Republicans are supporting us and saying, look, enough is enough. The presidents are going too far, and we should exert our authority and our responsibility. So it's a healthy redirection for the Congress instead of just sitting back. And hopefully the Kucinich Amendment would pass, but it's going to be close.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I understand it right, when they pulled the Kucinich bill because they thought it might pass, and then Brad Sherman succeeded in proposing, or didn't succeed, but he proposed a resolution or an amendment to the Homeland Security bill that basically said more or less the same thing. I think it wasn't as strong language as the Kucinich bill. And that amendment only failed by 5 votes. And I was talking with Eric Garris about it, and he said the parties were pretty much split 50-50,
yeah,
the Republicans,
oh, yeah,
and the Democrats.
There's a big shift in sentiment. Your website must be catching on. A lot of people must be reading it. So
I sure hope that's right. Antiwar.com/Paul, everybody.
Yeah. No, the sentiment is changing, and that resolution that was put into the DOD budget may or may not survive, but it wouldn't be as strong as what we're doing today. And so even though Boehner pulled what Kucinich was supposed to be doing and should have had an hour debate yesterday just on that, he decided to bring it up along with his. What he's doing is giving cover to the Republicans, so they're going to vote for this very, very weak resolution that has no force of law. And then they can vote against Kucinich and say, oh, well, we really care, but we don't want to go quite so fast. We don't really want to undermine the president. So
right.
It's a political stunt to have the two up there. The only thing that really counts will be the Kucinich vote. I'll probably vote for the other one because it's, even though it's so weak and token, it doesn't make things worse. It just doesn't do much good.
Mm-hmm. And now I interviewed Seymour Hersh the other day about his new piece in the New Yorker magazine where he reveals that the 2011 update National Intelligence Estimate on Iran's nuclear program confirms after 4 more years of intelligence the conclusion of the NIE from 2007, and that is that there is not a nuclear weapons program in Iran, that they have not made the decision to start one. The last they even were looking at paperwork along the lines was in 2003, and the White House said they're rolling their eyes about it was the best debunking they'd had. But I wonder if there's any way, you know, when they came out with the NIE in 2007, Bush and Cheney ordered the declassification of the summary. It turned out to be against their best interest to do so,
right,
at the time. But I wonder if there's anything you can do on the Foreign Affairs Committee to push for the release of at least a declassified summary of the new 2011 NIE on Iran's nuclear program.
Well, at least the effort should be made. Whether or not they're going to respond is another question. I see they're trying, as usual, to blast Seymour Hersh and make sure he loses credibility. But no, I think getting some concrete document officially like that would be very good, and we should do that.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, they try to attack Hersh, but they don't attack the central premise of the article, which is the NIE is done. And all 17 now, apparently, intelligence agencies agreed unanimously on its conclusion and that it's the same one as before. No one's ever really attacked that assertion. They just attack him personally.
Yeah, but I guess the various countries involved probably haven't endorsed it yet, and our neocons haven't endorsed it. So, but whether or not they're as powerful as they were in the Bush administration, where they could, you know, do like Cheney did, just squelch those things, I don't know. Let's hope we can get that information out.
And do you
at least I think at least we can start quoting that and saying, well, why don't we? You know, that's in the public domain now.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I don't know exactly how it works with the intelligence committees and the oversight committees and the foreign affairs committee, but would that be within your jurisdiction to subpoena that document somehow?
Yes, but it's not going to happen because the speaker and the chairman of the committee controls the subpoenas. Mm-hmm. So unless you had a truly anti-war coalition in the Congress where they really were determined, then a subpoena might be issued, and then they would have to, of course, say that it was – they would say, oh, well, too much top secret in there. Then they go through all those shenanigans. But
right.
the sentiment here in the Congress – to demand that is not that strong.
Mm-hmm. All right. And now on the issue of let's stick with foreign policy for a second. There was a vote about a week ago on Afghanistan that also came very close. I wonder if, you think there's a real sea change going on where this anti-war sentiment in the country is finally getting through to the House of Representatives? Is it just political games or what is it?
It isn't that the House of Representatives are all of a sudden enlightened, but the people become enlightened and they send this message. So they're reflecting what they're hearing in their districts. And I would say that this may change the whole nature of this presidential primary race now, not only in the foreign policy, but on the monetary policy and the huge debt. There's problems that the discussions are completely different. I think the views that so many of us have expressed for so long are much more credible now than they ever were. I don't think they'll be able to dismiss the contentions that we have about, you know, the stupidity of our foreign policy and how dangerous our monetary policy is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's just next month that Obama said would be the beginning of the end of the surge in Afghanistan, the beginning of the drawdown. And I guess probably a lot depends politically on whether that happens on the ground.
Yeah, and I don't have much faith in that. It's sort of like, it's all over in Iraq, and you're just about ready to come home, and then all of a sudden you hear how many more people were killed and what's happening to the Christians and why it's a haven now for al-Qaeda when it wasn't under Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't build those embassies and those bases if they actually want to go home or plan to go home. They're planning to stay. There's just no doubt about it. So they might try to fool the people for a while, but in this age of communications that we have, even from over there, that the information gets out and they won't be able to get away with it.
Mm. Well, and they've actually been pretty public about trying to get Nouri al-Maliki to so-called invite us to stay, too.
Yeah.
They haven't made much of a secret about it. Please, please, invite us.
And if you don't, we'll take all your money away from you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, and now this is extremely important, but, on this show, Foreign Policy First, but I was amazed to see this clip from your hearing on the Monetary Policy Committee where I believe the bureaucrat from the Fed, confirmed to you that 88% of the Fed's bailout money went to foreign banks? Is that right, Congressman?
Well, not the whole thing, but there was one particular at the height of the bailout. You know, those several weeks it was really going. And in one of the programs that they had, 88% did in a shorter period of time, but it was a lot. Overall, it was more like $3 trillion.
Amazing.
That went. But the other thing was is the one section that I dealt with was 370 pages. Of course, there's 29,000 pages. It's called the dump. But out of those 327 pages, 80% of everything was blackened out, is redacted, and we couldn't even read it. So we got after that with a little bit. He claimed that if we were specific and made those requests, they'd send it to us. I said, well, why don't you just send the whole thing? Let us read the whole program.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath for that one, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, I know you've got to go and vote for peace, so I want to thank you very much for your time on the show, as always.
Okay, Scott. Good to talk to you.
All right, everybody, that is the heroic Congressman Ron Paul. He's running for President of the United States. He wrote the book Liberty Defined, A Foreign Policy of Freedom, The Revolution, A Manifesto, and The Fed, and a bunch more before that, The Case for Gold, and Economic Prosperity, and Against the Police State, and all kinds of wonderful things. Check him out at lourockwell.com, original.antiwar.com/Paul as well. And we'll be right back after this.